No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
A message from McAfee. Wondering why the post office is texting you, or why you owe thousands of dollars in toll fees? Because someone's trying to scam you. The good news? McAfee can help. With McAfee's award-winning scam detection, it's easy to tell what's real and what's fake, over text, in your inbox, and online. If they're fake...
You want a free gift?
Seriously? If they're faking it, they're not making it past us. Get award-winning scam detection today. McAfee.com/keepitreal.
W.
T. L.
It's a big, hairy American winning machine. You ain't first, you're last.
W.
T. L.
All right, nice, huh? Got a talk show here, talk show with my mic. I got everything.
W.
T. L.
All he does is work out at Pit Brothers. Get in 85% weekend. You're a mute.
W.
T. L.
Brings you to our next point. Don't smoke crack.
And welcome to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klassen. And this is Where's the Line, joined by...
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, we got to take a minute here and let you kind of get up on your soapbox, because you've been hammering the UFC all year long, and you had a pretty good go of it last week.
Yeah, fight night, you know, it was a really fun one to watch. Had a lot of, you know, exciting people on the card.
Yeah.
You know, what comes to mind is Patty the Batty doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to win in the first round, and he's going to teabag his opponent. And that's exactly what he did. So, I think I hit 4 out of the 5 picks that I put down last week. And the only one that didn't hit was the big money one, the one going against the grain, so to speak, was Alexander Gustafsson, the kind of heart pick in it for me a little bit. But other than that, I hit Patty the Batty winning that one in the first round.
Under two.
They had him under
2.5.
Over under 2.5 rounds there. So, hit that one. And then Curtis Blaydes, a lot of people were down on him, and he came out and kind of showed why he's Curtis Blaydes, and everybody thought that that was going to go over 2 rounds, and that was over in the first round as well. So those are four of the 5 picks that I hit. And
you were kind of flexing like a sharp right there, because you even brought it up. That was the first time he had ever been a dog.
Yeah.
And we even speculated, like, okay, is the hometown hero kind of getting some juice, some action that he shouldn't have been getting? And it kind of looked that way.
It kind of looked that way. But, if you look at the other fights with, Molly McCann and Patty the Batty, those guys were all hometown kids as well. So
Meatball. She got her done.
She did. So, that flying backhand people's elbow, whatever the hell you want to call it, it looked awesome. And it was a lot of fun. It was really good for a fight night.
Yeah,
usually don't get that much excitement out of just undercard
fight
night.
It was in London, and the whole crew from Barstool was out there. And I think she pretty much took that guy's socket out shoulder when she jumped on him. Is that guy,
El Presidente?
He had the whole get up. That it was hilarious.
It was very cool, very fun to watch.
So let's dive into this week. UFC 277. We got a little Nebraska flavor in this one, a little hometown cooking here.
We do. We got a little hometown cooking. We got Lionheart, Anthony Smith fighting out of Omaha, Nebraska. Obviously, anybody in Nebraska that follows UFC knows about this guy. I know I have multiple pictures with him. Just
he's
any,
a dog.
Anytime that I see him, you know, he's a really nice guy, and he'll take a picture with you. He'll, you know, kind of talk with you about, you know, who you like and who you don't like. When I was out at the when I was at in Vegas for that event, he was one of the panel speakers talking about every
276.
Fight. 276. Yep, and he was just nice enough to talk to everybody out there. He got big kick that I was out there from Nebraska. So it was a lot of fun to talk to him. And he's a huge dog here,
I was
going to
say, he's got his hands full here up against the Russian.
Yes. Magomed Ankalaev.
17-1 heading into this one. Last fight was a win.
Yep.
I mean, he's got a reach. He's heavier. He doesn't have the reach. I just was looking at he weighs him by about 5-6 pounds. But reach and all that stuff is about the same. But on leg, 46 versus 44 with Smith. So he's a little taller.
No doubt.
A little heavier.
Yeah. What a lot of people are saying here, Andy, is that this Ankalaev is, you know, he's a younger guy. Well, not a younger guy, but,
less fights,
less experienced guy, but a guy climbing the ranks really, really fast. He's number 4 lightweight in the world right now.
Mm-hmm. Lionheart's 5.
Smith is sitting right behind him at number 5, kind of working his way back up. He has, Lionheart has 3 wins in a row against really, really good competition. This is a guy that never fights anybody out of the top 10. His whole career, he's been just a... I mean,
he's a
dog. He's fought Alexander Gustafsson. He's fought John Jones twice. This guy fights everyone. And what everybody is saying, which has got me a little stirred, Andy, is that they got Ankalaev just thinking that his wrestling is too much for Anthony Smith. And I'll tell you what, if the longer Anthony Smith survives in this fight, more it's going to teeter towards Anthony Smith. He gets better as the fight goes on.
Right.
And if you give him a chance, he will submit you. He can do it.
He wins by submission 40% of the time versus Ankalaev at 0.
Exactly.
Now, I know there's a lot less fights, a lot less of a resume there, but still 0 submissions in his UFC career.
For sure. Ankalaev is one of those guys that kind of, you know, can do it both, but if he does get to his wrestling, he's just kind of going to sit on you, kind of, you know, wear you down and win that 3-round fight. What I'm saying is if Anthony Smith can get past 1 or even 1.5 rounds here, he's going to start looking for a submission, especially if they're on the ground. And Ankalaev, I think, is going to get a little bit too big for his britches, thinking that Anthony Smith can't wrestle him right here. So this is going to be a pretty big one for me. I don't know if I've ever taken a fight that is this far out of reach.
What is it, plus?
He's plus 380 on my card right now. I have to go for it. I think this is going to be a very good fight. And no matter what, guys, no matter what, even if you're not with me on the Anthony Smith thing, please look at the over 2.5 rounds in this fight. I really don't think Anthony Smith is going to get finished here. And I think this is going to go all 3. If not, Anthony Smith winning it by decision.
Jabron? You ignorant schmuck.
Betting with my heart again, you think?
I don't know, man. Maybe the side action there where you're getting into a little bit of a prop, I can bite on that.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that the Russian is climbing the ranks, 17-1.
Yeah.
And there's so much tread on the tires. You like the Nebraska boy. Of course we do. We're going to be pulling for him. But maybe if I don't want to, like, get too involved there, I'll just sidestep that or go with that little prop play that you're talking about there.
Yeah.
So let's move on here. Let's move on the card.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Black Beast.
Yep.
Derek Lewis. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
One of everybody's favorite.
Number 5 contender right now, taking on Sergey Pavlovich, another Russian.
Yeah.
Another guy from the States. Okay, whatever.
No doubt about it.
He's got to be a favorite here.
He is. He's a huge favorite. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say huge, but. Most of these guys are thinking that he's going to win just because of Derek Lewis's last outing when he got knocked out by Tai Tuivasa, which we called, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Just a lot of people think that Derek Lewis is going to come in with the, you know, kind of mannerisms that he usually does. The whole thing, you know, with any time that I go into a fight like this, Andy, is the question is Derek Lewis will he find a way to knock knock this guy out?
Yeah, he's looking for the knockout.
It generally doesn't matter if Lewis is losing 2.5 to 3 rounds. You know, his strategy and path to victory is, can I knock this guy's block off?
Yep.
You know, Pavlovich was finished by strikes in his lone UFC loss. Those were ground strikes by Alistair Overeem. Still, we can, you know, you can kind of, you know, summarize that in that this guy can get knocked out, and there's nobody better at knockouts than Derek Lewis.
Right. And Sergio is kind of a mirror of the last fight where he just doesn't have much experience under his belt. He's 15-1, so he's an up-and-comer, where you got Derek Lewis sitting there at 26-9 with the one no contest there on his resume. And, yeah, he's going to be looking to get right. And he's going to be looking for knocking this young buck out. The average fight time for Pavlovich, that's odd to me.
It's odd to me.
So I do. I'll go with Derek Lewis with you on this one.
Yeah.
Or is there something we need to be concerned with?
I don't think there's anything to be concerned with. I mean, obviously with these big sluggers, with these heavyweights, it's always a flip of the coin.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the last shot? Who's going to get a big shot? The one thing about this is that Pavlovich does land strikes a lot more often than Derek Lewis. Landed per minute, Pavlovich is coming in right over 6, and Derek Lewis is right at 2.5. But it only takes one from Lewis.
Yeah.
Not to say this Pavlovich can't do it or whatever, but anytime I'm seeing Derek Lewis plus money, I'm probably going to hop on it. Plus, I like this fight to go under 2 rounds as well. Because these guys don't want it to draw it out any longer than that.
No, Pavlovich doesn't either.
Exactly.
He does not want to extend this fight. He's looking for the knockout as well. He wants to get his work in, get it in early.
Yep.
I just can't get over how big Derek Lewis is. 282 pounds his last weigh-in.
Yep.
6'3". That dude is huge compared to Pavlovich, who's 254. I mean, that's an NFL linebacker, right?
It's what it is right there.
But that's not 282.
It ain't 282.
Oh, my God. So I like that. I like that prop bet. What was that? What do you got at right
under
now?
Under two.
Okay.
Another one that I would look at if you guys are really trying to, you know, kind of get some gnarly bets in there, and I don't have a line on it right now, but as closer as it gets to the weekend, these props will come out, like we say, every week.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Lewis by KO or TKO, because if you're going to take him to win, if you're going to take the money line at plus 115 right now, might as well just take the method of victory, KO or TKO, because it's going to be up there probably at plus 250, plus 300, and that is the way he's going to win. There's no other method of victory for Derek Lewis the way that I look at stuff.
You're really going into analytics there, because he wins by KO or TKO 81% of the time, greater than 80. And then let's say you like Pavlovich, you like the young buck.
Yeah.
He wins his fights 80% of the time by KO or TKO. So like, if that's the way you want to go, that's a nice little thing to sprinkle on top
for
a little prop there, side bet.
So that's what I got for the Black Beast.
All right, so let's move on up the card here. The Assassin Baby.
Yes, sir.
Brandon Moreno versus Don't Blink. Kai Kara France.
This is a good one.
Where are we at? This is one, too.
These guys have fought before, but Brandon Moreno took that one back at, I can't believe, UFC 245. This Kai Kara France is a different fighter than what he was back at UFC 245. Brandon Moreno has been, you know, just lights out his whole career. You know, just moving up the line, got to the championship, got the belt. Now he's trying to get it back.
And this is
a title shot. Mm-hmm. This is a title shot for both of them. I really like Brandon Moreno. I think he's a better fighter. I just don't like, you know, just dismissing Kara France like that. My best bet is Moreno by decision at plus 145 right now, just because I like that plus money, and I do believe the fight is going to go the entire distance. At Moreno sitting at a minus 205 right now to win.
He's got more tools in his toolbox.
Yes, he does.
Like, I mean, the grappling, the wrestling, it's all there for him.
Yeah, he's just the overall better fighter. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably the best fighter in this weight class. I just really like... I don't think he's going to knock him out. I think it's going to go all five. But if you guys are kind of scared about that, take the minus 205 by Brandon Moreno. And if you want to, you know, kind of throw that decision win into a parlay later for that plus money to, you know, kind of jack that up, my best pick of the fight, though, is Brandon Moreno by decision at a plus 145. You can find that on FanDuel, DraftKings, all that.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you love to go dogs,
yeah.
You know, when you can in UFC and you think this is a good spot for it. And it's worth note, Moreno, his last fight was a loss.
Yeah, it was against Figueiredo, which is the champion of this weight class, but is injured right now. So this is quote unquote for the interim belt. Who knows if Figueiredo is going to come back? So this is the championship fight, unless that guy does come. The whole thing with Moreno is he's only fought the one guy in his last three fights, and it's been the same guy, but he's been the champion of this division.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to get a motor on where Moreno is sitting right now, but I do believe he is the better fighter, and I'm taking him by decision.
And you can tell he's kind of been sitting there with the belt, picking his fights, letting them come to him.
Cause, for sure.
I mean, he's sitting there at 19-6-2, where a lot of guys that have been in it for that long.
Yeah.
They have a heck of a lot more fights under their belt.
Yeah.
And Moreno, he hasn't had to do that. Young man out of Mexico.
Yep.
Standing at 5'7", 124, compared to France, 5'4", 136. So different body types, different builds here.
Yeah.
A pretty tight one, and you're leaning on the dog again.
No, I'm not leaning on the dog. Moreno is a minus 205 favorite.
Oh, okay. So here we go.
The plus money comes in is when you pick him by decision.
Oh, that's where you're going with
it. When you pick Moreno by decision, it's a plus 145. So other than just take the minus 205, which I know a lot of people would be more comfortable with, I just think the method of victory that Moreno is most likely going to have is this fight goes to distance and he wins by decision. I just think he's just
The value is not quite there at minus 2.
No.
It's not where what you're looking for.
Yeah. No. And my biggest thing is Moreno has really ascended to the elite of flyweights, and while Cara France is a worthy challenger, I still think it makes the more sense to Moreno to win this fight.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you guys are feeling a little bit uneasy about the decision, you think he's going to win, you know, in rounds 3 or 4, take that minus 205, throw it in a parlay, and, you know, call it good. But I really like the plus 145 that I'm finding on most books that he wins by decision.
All right, might have to do a little searching there, but you can find it. It is out there. So let's move to the main event here.
The main event.
The Venezuelan Vixen.
Yeah.
The challenger taking on the lioness, Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, so I've been waiting for this fight for a long time. Just
a lot of hype.
Because Amanda Nunes has been so pissed. and very outspoken about how pissed she was that she lost to Juliana Pena last year.
But she did lose to her.
She did lose. She did lose, and she got submitted, Andy. Mm-hmm. And it's just Juliana Pena went into that fight as a plus 700 underdog.
Whoops.
Which is, you know, unheard of. You are not supposed to be able to win fights at that big of odds. That's like a Mike Tyson, who's the guy?
Douglas.
Yeah, Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
That's
40-1.
Exactly. That's just plus money that you're never going to get behind. Mm-hmm. Now, Pena, she's coming in as the champion, as a huge dog here, Andy.
Yeah.
At plus 225. If you guys like value, this is a good play for you. I think these guys are about as level as they can be.
Close, yeah.
These guys are the best women fighters in this weight class, in the sport, in my opinion. Nobody can take these two on, especially at how heavy they are. So I just, man, I think Nunez is so pissed off that she's gonna win this fight. But my best bet of the night, Andy, and this goes for every bet that I've said so far, my best bet is over 2.5 rounds in this fight at a minus 115. I think it hits no matter what. Nunez is not knocking out Pena before the third round, and I don't think Pena will be able to submit Nunez before that either. I think this goes into round. I think this gets into the championship rounds.
Yeah, both of their average fight times lean towards that 11 versus 9.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they're going
to
get there.
I'm thinking this gets to. I think it gets to the championship rounds, and we really get a blow for blow, really good fight out of this one.
Okay.
And it's going to come down to who wants it more at the end.
So, but you do like Nunez, and she does, I mean, she weighs 10 more pounds
yep.
than Pena. So, I mean, there's got to be some to that. She's also 2 inches taller.
Yep.
Interestingly enough, she has the same, they both have the same arm reach.
You yeah, know,
it's 69
for sure.
inches.
Yeah.
So, this has been built up quite a bit.
It is.
And I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I agree with you. And there's something to be said here.
Yeah.
You know, women are taking the main card here.
Exactly.
This is,
no, it's,
I mean, this
it's
is,
awesome. But Amanda Nunez, she's the yeah. GOAT. She is the absolute GOAT in women's sport. It used to be Ronda until she tried to take on Nunez, and it was not good for her.
No, that was ugly.
It was ugly. Like I said, I really like Nunez in this fight, but I like her later in the fight. She might get, you know, she might get a stoppage in round 4 or 5, but I really like this fight to go over 2.5. So that is where I'm putting most of my money on Saturday night is
All
over
right.
the 2.5 rounds at -115. You know, just throw a little bit at it, and I think it's going
to
hit.
Now, you've gotten yourself in a little trouble with this.
Yeah.
But you got to. It's your namesake, the
it
parlay
is.
Pounder.
Oh, I got one for
What's
you.
What's the parlay we got to hit
All
up
right,
here?
So I'm sitting here putting this together, and I know people are going to trash me for it. I got Amanda Nunez at -260.
Okay. Yeah.
Brandon Moreno, baby assassin, at -220.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm throwing the Anthony Smith pick at +425. And all I'm going to do is put $25 on this. So that's not a lot of money, Annie, but
yeah,
it
yeah.
will return you at a $239.
There we go.
So that is good value for a small bet. And
you're betting the Nebraska boy. You're getting him in there for that third leg.
Lionheart is my guy, and it's make or break with Nebraska.
All right. Well, how fitting is that segue into this week's sponsor, Nebraska Brewing Company. Looking right here, world class in every glass. No doubt about it. I'm enjoying the Eos Hefeweizen right now
yes,
as
sir.
We speak. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to be right back with NFL win totals. What do we like? What don't we like? And welcome back to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by...
Jabron.
All righty, so we covered the UFC.
You got it.
We do all the time, every week. That's turned into your wheelhouse.
That's kind of our calling
yeah,
card right
yeah.
now, especially with no football, no basketball going on, you know, and it's one of my favorite things to cover anyway,
hey,
so we're going to throw it in there.
It's a lot of fun, and I mean, there was an action-packed fight night last week, and
exactly.
now we're having 277, so why not?
No doubt about it.
And you've been hot. You've been hitting some of these.
It's been fun on the book, I'll tell you that.
There we go. So we do have, though, teams
yeah.
reporting, mini camps, NFL's right around the corner, football is here, plenty of lines are out. We're looking at NFL regular season wins.
Yeah.
Let's start with some local teams here. A lot of fans of the Kansas City Chiefs, Denver Broncos.
No doubt.
So let's go ahead and start right there. AFC West Chiefs, 10.5. What do you make of that? Tyreek Hill is gone.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, that division just I feel like it just keeps getting better. I mean, the Raiders are even a dark horse.
No, and that's what I was just going to say, Andy. With the Raiders, literally everybody's saying that mm-hmm. Derek Carr is mm-hmm. the worst quarterback in this division, which is just absolutely nuts.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty freaking good, and with that defense they have there, in the addition of Devontae Adams, probably
yeah.
the best receiver in the NFL.
Oh, you mean the duo that rewrote Fresno State's record books?
Exactly, and then I just guess yeah. they got this no-name guy, Darren Waller, on the other side, so
and a no-name Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, so yeah, picking them to come in last in the AFC West is very hard for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I am not thinking the Chiefs are going to be as potent on offense this year.
They can't be.
And their defense kind of just limps by, you know what I mean?
Yep.
They've been...
They lost Honey Badger, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's gone.
But I'm just saying, with this run that the Chiefs have been going on, their defense has been just good enough to stop teams in the fourth quarter for Mahomes to get a shot right at the end of the game, which always happens because he's very, very good. But a lot of those are going about 60 yards to none other than the Cheetah, which is down in Miami, Florida now.
Right, right.
And I really think teams are just going to double Travis Kelce the entire way down the field because they do not have to cover Juju Smith-Schuster the same way that they cover Tyreek Hill.
They don't need to devote an entire safety to be over the top.
Exactly.
Who still gets beat anyway.
Exactly. So on the Chiefs going over under 10.5, I'm going with the under at minus, let me see. No, it's at a plus 115. So I like that plus money, and you can stick to it.
There you go. I got a plus 110. Book's pretty similar here, but it is 10.5. And it's really... I'm going to save a pick here because it's really, do you believe the hype as far as the Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson just stepping in there, fixing the scene? We already kind of touched on Las Vegas, the Raiders. You know, do you believe the hype there?
Right.
You know, and then, I mean, everyone thinks that one of the best new quarterbacks
is Justin Herbert.
Exactly. So if that's all true, those 10.5 wins are pretty difficult. So I'm not going to throw shade at anyone that's willing to bet the under on the Chiefs, even though they've just been tearing up the league last 3 or 4 years.
For sure.
Patrick Mahomes has been a revelation.
The way I'm looking at this, Andy, is that we're – okay, so we can kind of move on to the Broncos here that are at an over-under at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to throw another team in there, but the Chargers are right at 10 as well. And then you got the Raiders at 8.5. So something is going to have to give here.
That's too many wins.
That's too many wins. Something is going to have to give here. And I really think the place it's going to give at is the Chiefs sitting there at that 8-9 win season. I really think the Broncos are going to take a major step forward just because their defense is so good. And that has been their missing piece these few years is that they've been bringing in talent to put around quarterbacks. But these young quarterbacks that they've been bringing in they haven't been able to progress like they need to. They're always in win now mode, and that's not what you can do with a brand new quarterback right out of college. So with a guy like Russ, somebody that's probably, you know, top five, you know, IQ in the NFL,
right,
I really think that they're probably going to get to 10 wins and probably surpass it.
Jabron, you ignorant schmuck. The Broncos are going under. Russell Wilson's getting older. He doesn't have the arm strength he once had. He can't just step into the building and save the day. And I do think, now that I look at it again, the Chiefs are going to get to 11 wins.
All right.
Hit that over at 10.5. That's the AFC West. Chargers are going to be there.
Okay.
Raiders are going to be there. So are the Broncos, but I think the Broncos could just end up dead last once again.
Okay.
I mean, that you're really asking a lot for just, even though it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's married to that pop singer star. That's really cool. That's really neat. but 10 wins, give me a break.
Okay.
Give me the Chiefs at that 10.5.
We are flip-flopping on that one. Okay. So we do not we disagree on the AFC West. Let's head up to your country, the NFC North. We got three teams we want to talk about. Let's start off with the Minnesota Vikings.
Nine. I got an over-under at 9.
I do too.
I mean, life's too short to bet the unders, right?
I think this is one of the best ones of the league.
I think this is a great value play here. I think the Vikings can get there. I think they can get there pretty easily.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, some of his prop bets actually have him outgaining, you know, yardage and touchdowns Aaron Rodgers.
For sure.
They got him throwing more touchdowns and gaining more yards through the air than Aaron Rodgers on some of these props that I'm seeing
across the board. I think that's a no-brainer with the lack of weapons that Rodgers has right now.
It's never stopped him before.
It has not ever stopped him, but with Justin Jefferson really emerging as one of the best receivers. One of the best receivers in the league. Plus, I guess Adam Thielen's just an afterthought now. He'll just score 10 touchdowns and have 1,000 yards, and that's an afterthought for people. Yeah. I really think that over 9 wins is going to happen.
Yep.
I really like it. It's sitting at a minus 130 right now, so it's pretty good value. I really like this Vikings bet.
And I do too. I like it as well. I think they can get to 10 wins. I think they can get there pretty easily. I like the new coaching staff, a little more offensive minded.
Yeah.
Man, the more and more you hear about that relationship between Zimmer and Cousins, I mean, that was toxic.
I guess it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can you expect the team to win with consistency?
Yeah.
And it just sounds like too many things boiled over last year. So I think Cousins is in a much better place. And for all the people give him such a hard time for, I don't get it.
Right.
I would love a guy like that.
It's just that,
you know, over the years.
It's just that he hasn't won big games. And
yeah.
I mean, who has, though, besides the upper echelon of
like three or four guys?
Like three or four guys.
Yeah.
So sitting at this nine, I really like it. You're almost halfway there, beating the Lions and beating the Bears twice. So I think they're there.
Okay. So we already touched on them. Let's talk about the Packers.
The Packers.
The Packers sitting there at 11, eh?
I am going under on the Packers all
Uh-oh.
The way.
Uh-oh.
I am going under on the Packers all the way. I saw Aaron Rodgers show up to minicamp in his Con Air Nick Cage.
Come on. That was awesome.
I did love it. But I just don't. I think they're going to get about in a big hole here early in the season, and I'm just going to think he's just going to flip on them and say, they didn't do anything for me. They couldn't keep Devontae.
He's too proud.
I don't know about
it. So you like the under at plus – my book has it at plus 100, the one I'm looking at.
Yeah,
right now.
I got it at plus 108. I'm hammering that. I do not believe in the Green Bay Packers this year.
The Green Machine.
Nope, they are going under 11 wins, guaranteed.
Oh, man, it just seems like every time I bet against Aaron Rodgers, I hate that guy. Being a Bears fan.
Well, he owns you.
Oh, yeah, and you can't argue it. This idiot.
He owns the Chicago Bears.
I think they can get to – I really do. I think they can get to 12, but I – screw that. I'm not going to put any money on that.
Yeah, you're kind of staying even keel on that one. Just trying not to get kicked in the mouth.
Why do that?
I just don't believe in the Green Bay Packers. I think their defense is, you know, solid. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know who he's going to throw the ball to.
We say that every year, though.
No, we haven't been able to say that for like six or seven with Devontae Adams.
You could also say he made Devontae Adams.
Well, like,
there's a reason people don't put Devontae Adams in this upper echelon. Okay, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I don't know. He's rated number nine. He's a 99 overall in Madden, and he plays for the Raiders.
Oh, my God. So Madden says it all.
I'm just saying that people have given him the respect. They didn't used to. I agree with that. But Aaron Rodgers has always had Jordy Nelson. Devontae Adams.
Even last year, the repertoire that he had with Aaron Rodgers and then he built over the year.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of his highlights is Aaron Rodgers like looking off defenders doing, and then turning back and doing like a no-look pass.
I agree.
Just thrown to a spot. And Devontae, just don't trip over your feet and get to the spot that I told you I was going to throw it to before the play.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll do that head nod thing and, oh, yeah, we're going off screen. I mean, that takes a lot of time, and I don't want to take his athletic ability away from him or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's a reason why he's not regarded as, or hasn't been. I think his numbers just got so inflated
that it's hard to deny.
You had to give it to him.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to, fantasy football wise, I think he's going to have a great year.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of the best.
I really do.
Because he's got that rapport with Carr as well. Yep. So.
All right, so let's talk about Da Bears.
Da Bears.
Bringing up the end here.
The old
caboose of the NFC North at 6.5, Jabron.
Yeah.
Oh, go easy on me. What do you make of this?
So who's the starting quarterback?
Some guy from Ohio State.
You think it's Justin Fields?
Yeah.
We have that on a lock, probably, that it's Justin Fields.
I think so.
So, the whole thing that I'm trying to figure out here, Andy, is will you beat the Detroit Lions twice?
That's a lot of people are high in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know,
they're sitting at a plus
6.5 as
they're
well.
They're sitting at 6.5 as well. The only thing that's different about the bet is your guys' is plus money going over 6.5, and theirs is minus. So there's people, a lot more people believe in the Lions than they do in the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
6.5, wow.
And I wouldn't get mad at them. Yeah, you think every NFL team could at least win 7 games. You think that.
Well, me and you haven't for a couple.
Oh, God. So, yeah, until I'm not going to. If I had to, I would take the under here, unfortunately. I mean, I want to be a go-lucky, happy fan, but here we got, you know, a second-year quarterback. I still think his best play is, just like Trubisky's, is the scramble.
Yeah,
you know, when
no
the
doubt.
Play breaks down and he can use his legs, he does a great job keeping his eyes down the field, you know, unlimited ability.
Yeah.
But What else is there?
Like, what else is there?
Mooney?
Mooney's their best player.
Jeez. And yeah. then a running back from Iowa State or something like that. What
is it David Montgomery?
God, no. Yeah. So like, I have no faith in that offense. I have no idea what they're trying to do on defense.
Yeah.
The whole Khalil Mack thing kind of blew up in their face.
Yeah, it did.
You know, they just had to unload him.
Yep.
You know,
and give him to one of the best teams in the NFL.
And now he's going to be rejuvenated. I do believe he's going to have a bounce back year. You could tell.
Especially with Joey Bosa right next to him. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, you could just tell in Chicago, he's like, well, piss on this.
Right.
You know?
He's
getting double teamed and then chipped by a running back. He's like,
I'm going to go somewhere where the other guy's doing that. I have to agree with you on this one, Andy. I really do not believe that I don't believe the Bears will get 5 wins this year.
So. Yeah, I mean, if they split with Detroit, it's over. They can't get there. They cannot get there.
I don't think so either. I'm sorry to say that, but I just think there's too many good teams in this division.
Yep.
And
NFC's tough.
And with the NFC, I really don't believe that they're going to be able to squeak that out.
No, my feelings aren't hurt. I get it.
You get it.
Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears. I got him there. I got it. All right, let's talk about a more delusional type of fan base.
Hey.
Hey, and we know how that goes. Huskers.
Huskers, yeah. These are the Huskers of the South.
Oh, the Dallas Cowboys. I can't believe.
Wow.
They're over-unders at 10 wins.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you think that they could get to 10 wins?
Well, because so many people fantasize and bet it. That's what it is. The reason this is set at 10, Andy, is because their division is so weak.
It's garbage.
The New York Giants, who knows if they'll win 2 or 3 games? Who knows who the starting quarterback will be by week 3?
Yep.
Who knows when they'll fire their coach? Same with the Eagles. The Eagles have a little bit more sputter behind them with a young, exciting Jalen Hurts behind center, but they're still they're still sitting at a 9.5 win total with the Eagles. So people are kind of high on them.
About the Comanches? I mean, the Commanders.
Yeah, they're sitting at 8. They're sitting at 8, and that's usually where they're about at. And they're always in a fight for the division.
And they always spoil the Cowboys. I mean,
They do.
I mean, those two teams have such a fun history.
Yeah. It's one of the best rivalries.
Yeah.
And especially for us, because our mom's a huge Washington Reds, Washington Commanders. Football team.
The Washington football team, Commander
Skins.
Dan Schneider's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I don't like him.
Now we're on.
Yeah.
Now we're
on. Okay. That's the team name.
Now we got that out of the way.
I really, and with the addition of Carson Wentz to the Commanders, you know, this could go either way for them.
Yeah, really good.
I think he's probably the best quarterback that they've had starting a year. Since Alex Smith. And, you know, Alex Smith, I think he's a little bit more talented than Alex Smith. I don't know.
Really?
I don't think he's probably as good football IQ or a game manager as Alex Smith. That's pretty hard to find. I really think he might have more talent, though, which really equivalates into wins at the end of the year.
So we are giving the Commanders a little bit of credit here, but we're still thinking the Cowboys could easily split or sweep them, right?
Yeah.
Get 2 wins. Could easily get 2 wins over the Giants. Could get 2 wins over Philadelphia. The East is just, I don't know. They've been in such turmoil over the last 2-3 seasons. And there's that weird stat out there where a different team wins every year.
Yeah.
You know, so you can see the path for Dallas
to
get to 10 wins. I don't know. I've never been a believer in Dallas since the glory days.
Well, the whole thing with Dallas is Dak healthy, is Zeke healthy. That's the whole thing with it.
And even when Zeke is healthy, I think he's different than he was 2-3 seasons ago.
There's no doubt about that.
He doesn't have that burst. He doesn't have that speed. I think their backup running back is better than him. I really do.
The whole thing with Zeke is that he gets in within 10 yards, and
you can't stop him.
You can't stop him because he does have that push to get those touchdowns.
Yep.
The whole thing, they're riding on Dak. They're riding on Dak,
yes.
And that's the whole thing.
They paid him,
and they're riding on him. I think the defense is pretty dang good, especially against these, foes in the NFC East.
Yeah.
I really see them probably getting this.
You think so?
I don't want them to do it. I don't want them to do it. But
no, we already touched on it. There's a path.
There's a path.
There is. They're in the NFC least, as they've been saying.
Exactly.
And
but I'm going on record saying that the Washington Commanders are going to win this division.
You think so?
I do.
Ooh. But yeah, they could still win the division and Dallas gets to 10.
I think
that's
so.
That's no problem. I need a 17-game season. All righty, all righty. Yeah. I got that over at a minus 120, got the under at a plus 100. You know I like the plus money.
Yep.
But as I mentioned, we've already gone over. We kind of walked through it.
Yep.
There is a clear path for Dallas to get to 10 wins.
I think they'll do it. Don't want them to do it. Least favorite team in franchise sports besides the New York Yankees. Yeah.
So, all right. So let's run that down. We split on the Chiefs with that 10.5.
Yep.
Broncos, we split. They're at 10. Vikings at 9. Both like the Vikings. Hitting the over there. Packers.
You're staying away. I'm going under at 11 wins.
And if I had to go somewhere, and I still might, we still got a few times, you know.
Yeah.
Ways
away.
I think they always end up winning those games. So, I mean, I could see them easily winning 12 this year. I might revisit that and look at some futures there. Cowboys, 10 wins. I think we both like the overs there. And unfortunately for the Bears, 6.5, smacking that under.
Yep. This could be of one of those candidates for 0-17. We don't know.
Come on.
We hope not, but just the way that the kind of franchise is in shambles.
If they go 0-17, would they be like the reverse Dolphins where they get to drink champagne every night?
Well,
every year.
The Lions have done this before, so they would just have to talk to their friends in Detroit there. So
All right. So do you have any other type of prop, type of future, type of
bet? Of course I got one more.
There we go, the parlay pounder.
I got one more.
Here we go.
We got a late addition here. We got the Carolina Panthers. The Davin folk, we're going over 6 wins with our brand new shiny quarterback, Baker Mayfield.
Is he even going to be the starter?
He is the starter. I am the insider for Carolina Panthers football. DJ Moore's going close to 2,000 yards this year. Baker Mayfield is going to have a reverse year. We're going to love him. Cleveland kicked him out. Now they're hanging there with Josh Rosen.
Yeah, they are. Yes,
so
they are.
We are going over 6 wins with Baker Mayfield. I'm looking as far as 10 wins here, Andy.
There you have it, folks. I mean,
10. Here we go.
All right, big time. I mean, I got... Your under's at 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's easy money.
All right. Yeah, minus 140. I mean, the under plus 120. Okay.
Over 6 with the Carolina Panthers. You will not be sad that you did it.
All right. There you got it. Straight talk from the parlay pounder, riding with his boys down there in Carolina,
the Carolina Panthers.
And the new gunslinger that they signed, and you got to feel like they signed him to start.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's better than what we've had.
Baker Mayfield. All righty, folks. Want to take one quick moment to once again thank our sponsor, Nebraska Brewing Company. World class in every glass. I've been enjoying the EOS Hefeweizen all pod long. For Jobron, my name is Andy Klassen. Folks, thanks for listening.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.